I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We're talking about the God of the more. Aren't you glad He is today?
Yes.
And today specifically dealing with the foundation for the more. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Shout this out and say, "My God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what I can ask, think, or imagine, according to His power that is at work within me." The key is we have to actually believe He is the God of the more and that He can do more in our lives. In fact, in Psalm 115, verse 12, the Bible says, "The Lord hath been mindful of us." Aren't you glad that God has you on His mind?
Yes.
It says, "The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He'll bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron." Look at somebody and say, "He'll bless your house. He'll bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." Shout that out, me and my children. And the key there is for those that fear the Lord, that honor Him, love Him, respect Him enough to actually do what He tells them to do. And then Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, "The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude." In other words, God made this promise to Abraham, and it was fulfilled. And now He ups the ante, He upgrades that promise, and He says, "The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so more than you are, and bless you as He has promised you." You know, there is in Scripture, according to the teaching of Jesus, a 30, 60, and 100-fold. And apparently, according to Moses, there's 1,000-fold.
Yeah.
In other words, no matter how well we're doing, there is more for God to do in us and more for God to do through us. He is the God of the more in 2024. Say, He's my God, and He does more in 2024. And in fact, He'll just keep on doing more, won't He, church? Our expectation should be for the more, it should be for the increase in every area of life. Our God is not just what He used to be. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not the God of the less, He's the God of the more. He's not the God of I can't, He's not the God of I don't, He's not the God of I won't. He's not the God of you never know what God's going to do. Yeah, we do, because His Word says what He'll do, and His Word says He's the God of the more. But first, you and I have to make sure that we have a foundation in our lives, because without a foundation that is healthy and correct, everything falls apart. Now, you know, when I think back on my particular spiritual journey and my own spiritual formation, there are a lot of people that had a great impact on that. Some of these people I knew personally, some of them, you know, I never met personally. But in 1984, I was in the Houston Coliseum at Lakewood Church's Thanksgiving Convention, and a man named R.W. Shambaugh got up to speak. And he spoke about how the call of God was on his life, but he ran from that call and how he ran so far that he joined the Navy. Sounds a lot like Jonah, doesn't it, church? And he said, "I joined the Navy," he said, "but the intensity of the call got stronger and stronger until I couldn't stand it anymore." And he said, "Every island I went, I preached. I preached on the boat. I preached, you know, on the islands. And when I got done, it was clear to me what God had called me to do." And that very night in 1984, God began to deal with me about full-time ministry. I'll never forget the impact that R.W. Shambaugh had on my life, a great evangelist in this nation's history. He preached in places like Texas, and he preached so powerfully that the authorities didn't want him there, and so they arrested him. And you know what? It was on the news about R.W. Shambaugh being arrested. Now, you would think that the crowds would stay away, but they showed up in droves the next night, and they arrested him again. And by the time it was done, there were thousands and thousands of people that showed up. And so that DNA is there. He went to my home county in Illinois, and he had a little mom bring a little boy up who had a horse kick that kid's head in. And they said the doctors had done what they can do. They left it open because of the swelling. Would you pray for him? He laid his hands on that 5-year-old little boy. And then years later, he was doing a meeting in Alabama. And there at the door to greet him was an usher, a little 18-year-old boy, fully healed, who had his head kicked in by a horse. I tell you, these things impact you. And he would say things like, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. And that's the truth, isn't it, church? I can remember the impact of listening to Gloria Copeland talk about the spirit of faith in such clarity and such distinction that you couldn't possibly not get the message. I listened to a man called Leslie Hale. Last time I heard, he was still alive and kicking and preaching in Florida. But he used to preach, this Irish preacher, about wearing the coat that fits you. And he would say things like this, and Simon, he surnamed Peter. And it just struck me that God had a coat for me to wear. God has a call for me. God has a call for you. Are you here today, church? Impacting. I heard Brother Copeland talk on the anointing, you know, in 1995, and it was like anything I'd ever heard about in my entire life, and it marked me for life. My pastor, Brother Darrell, and our campus pastor, Mark Randall, used to talk about not the birth date on a tombstone and not the death date on a tombstone, but what in the world do we do with the dash that's in the middle? Impactful. Look at somebody and tell them, don't waste that dash. But above them all was a man named John Osteen, who I came into the faith through and came into the baptism in the Holy Spirit through. And everything from teaching on the Holy Ghost to the principles of faith to increase, you name it, there was impact there. And he laid a foundation in my life to just believe what the Word of God said. The first little mini booklet I ever read was his. The first tape I ever listened to was his. And somebody's gone to putting his old messages on YouTube, and you can find out what I'm talking about by listening to this man who just taught with great simplicity and power at a season and a point in my life where I needed somebody to tell me the uncompromised Word of God. So he not only inspires this message today, but he reminds me of foundational principles that I need to pass on to you, that if they worked back then, they'll work now. That ministry started in a feed store with holes in the floor and dust and old pieces of corn. And it grew and grew and grew to a church of 200 and then 600 and 2,000 and a building of 8,500. And now it sits in the compact center. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? In a church that now runs over 50,000 people every Sunday morning. I believe the man knew what he was talking about foundations. Yes. Say it with me, a foundation for the more. Everybody say, thank God for our mothers and our fathers in the faith. They're a blessing to us. And none of them are perfect. None of them are Jesus. They're all humanity. But I can tell you this today. You can tell a lot about the integrity and the spiritual formation of a believer, but whether they look for the humanity in a servant of God or look for how they've been a blessing to you. These people have been a blessing to me and so many more than that. Amen. I was in a class years ago working on graduate studies when the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God came in, Tom Trask. He's the kind of guy, if you ever met him one time, he'd never forget your name. This is the way he was. And I'll never forget this. He was teaching on the Holy Spirit and on healing. And he said, I'm asked everywhere I go all over the world what the model for the church is in the Assemblies of God. What's the model? And he held up his Bible and he said, it's the book of Acts. That's the model for the church of Jesus Christ. Impactful. Turn to somebody and tell them, it's the book of Acts. And can I tell you something? God is going to show forth the church in the last days, amen, in a way that even surpasses what the book of Acts records in terms of numbers and outreach and miracles and healings, signs and wonders. Say, thank God for those that have gone before us. So here's what he did. Years ago, he published this, and years ago, he spoke about these principles. And Kelly was listening to him not too long ago, and I got to listen to him again. And I just want to share with you how important these foundational principles are. So write them down. How many want to have a foundation for more in your life? Well, number one, you need to check your life. It's common today for people to feel like they can live any way they want to and God will bless their lives. But that's not true. You need to live right. Can I have an amen? You need to live consecrated, set apart lives that honor God. It matters how you live. Today, it seems like Jerry Savelle said that in this grace mindset, live however you want to and God will still bless you. No, grace is the front door. Grace is how you get in, but he still says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen to what Billy Sunday said about sin. He said, I'm against sin. He said, I'll kick it as long as I have a foot. I'll fight it as long as I have a fist. I'll butt it as long as I have a head. I'll bite it as long as I got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory and I'll go home and it goes home to perdition. Look at somebody say, gum that sin. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul put it very plainly to his son in the faith, watch your life and doctrine closely. Turn to somebody and tell them, watch your life and doctrine closely. Why? Because it matters what you do with your life and how you live your life. Raise your hand if you want to see the more and more. Well, you're not going to live dirty in this world and have the more. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to think right, talk right, act right. You're going to be a child of God, and you'll set yourself up for the more in Jesus' name. Aren't you glad for the more today? Number two, you need to check your promises. What does that mean? Check your promises. It means you just can't make up anything and then say, I'm believing God for that. You have to do what Luke 4:17 says. Jesus found the place where it is written. And that is something you can hold on to and believe God for. You just don't make things up and expect God to do them. You've got to find it in the Word of God. Can I have an amen, church? We don't teach, just ask whatever you want to. It could be biblical or not. No, it has to be scriptural. It has to be a promise. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for the promises of God in Him are yes and amen, not your delusions. Say it, the promises are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. So you need some kind of a ministry of healing. You find the place where it is written. He himself bore my sicknesses and carried my infirmities, and by his stripes I am healed. He sent forth his word and he healed them. You have a financial need. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And you hold on to that. You check your life, but you also check your promises. Listen, religion won't do it. Your musings won't do it. What you think won't do it. You got to find the place where it is written. Can I tell you something? There is a promise in that book for every category of more you could possibly need in life. You just need to make sure it's the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to bring itself to pass, not your delusions. Say it, the promises of God are yes and amen. That's why it's so important to have a renewed mind. Can I have an amen? The number three, you need to check your confession. In other words, your mouth has to line up with what God says. You've got to agree with God on the matter and continue to do so. That, in essence, is what confession is all about. If you say to me today, you know what, things aren't going well, I think I'm living right, I'm on the promises of God, but it's not working right, check your mouth. More often than not, it's that little hole beneath your nose that is the problem. Okay, you're living clean, wonderful, you're on your way. You found the promise, great. But if you talk in contradiction to that promise, you're never going to see that thing manifest in your life. Well, I'm believing I'm healed. The next moment, I'm going to die. No, get the spirit of Anna Hines out of you and live in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't lift your head to heaven and go, I'm going to die. No, I'm going to live and proclaim the glory of God. You cannot be saying I'm believing one thing and then saying something else out of the other side of your mouth when you're under pressure. It's what you say all the time that matters. This is what Job says in chapter 22, which is a truth and a revelation for all of us to receive. Acquaint now yourself with him from the Amplified. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. Then you shall prosper and it shall go well with thee. Receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from his mouth, and lay up His words in your heart. And do you know what happens when you lay up His words in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's very important that you line up your mouth with what you say you're believing God for as far as a promise goes. And can I tell you something? I'm just being honest with you here. You are never going to not need exhortation on your mouth. And you might as well just learn how to do it yourself. Look in the mirror and say, now you knock it off. You know you're not speaking right. In other words, beat your spouse to it. Beat your pastor to it. I love it when I have a parishioner come up to me after a sermon and say, you know what, Pastor, God was just saying that very thing to me this week. You know what that's called? A spirit-led preemptive strike. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to know God's talking to you. Amen. But on this revelation about the power of words, amen, we know that they are like magnets, they are seeds, they are vehicles, they are containers. It's important that you line up what you say with what you say you're believing God for as a promise and stick to it no matter how it looks, can have an amen. No matter how it feels, can have an amen. Stick to it. God spoke to Charles Capps years ago. He's with Jesus today, a great teacher on the authority of the believer and the power of the tongue. And he simply said, you know, God spoke to him and said, you know, I told my people they can have what they say, but they keep on saying what they have. To say what you have is not saying the promise. To go around saying you're broke when God said He's your supply is not saying the promise. To keep on talking about how sick you are and how you're going to die is not, in fact, saying the promise. Make sure your mouth lines up with the word. Can I have an amen? And then he talked about number four, check your arena. In other words, what is the arena that you are fighting in? You and I are spiritual beings. You cannot fight in the realm of reason and carnality and win. The devil will beat your brains out. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? He always wins if you fight in the natural realm. Come up and stay in the realm of faith. Come up and stay in the realm of the spirit of faith. Come out of reason. Come out of carnality. For to be carnally minded, the Bible says, is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Come up where you know your weapons are effective. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. He gave us shoes for our feet, amen, for the gospel of peace. He gave us a helmet of salvation to keep our mind renewed in the principles of God. He gave us a belt of truth to uphold our scabbard, our sword, and our shield. He gave us a shield of faith to extinguish every fiery dart of the devil. Are you here today? He gave us the sword of the Spirit, the sword the Spirit uses to strike at everything that contradicts the Word of God. He's given us everything we need in life, amen. Everything we need for life and godliness. He has given us supernatural weapons. Don't try to fight this in the natural realm, amen. Keep your feet shod, amen. Keep your breastplate of righteousness intact. Keep your mind renewed with the helmet of salvation. Keep your shields up. Look at somebody and tell them, shields up. Come on, say it again, shields up. And keep that sword out. That two-edged sword, amen, that always wins the victory when it is executed. And you say, what is that, Pastor? It's only a shield, it's only a sword that is wielded when you open your mouth and speak. Until then, it's still in its scabbard, still in its place. Glory to God. Say it, I'm going to fight in the right arena, in the right realm. And I'll tell you this, where you can't win in the natural realm, you can't lose in the spiritual realm. You're called to win. Glory to God. Unless He can get you to fight down here with personalities and flesh. I've run into my share of personalities and flesh as a spiritual leader. But I'm not going to give away my victory, amen, to stay down there and fuss with things that are insignificant. There's too much on the line here, glory to God. I'm going to fight in the right arena. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You will never win the battle functioning in the realm of the senses. What you feel, what you can touch, what you can hear, what you can see, you use a sixth sense called faith. Can I have an amen? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number five, you need to check your fellowship. Listen, you can't be sitting here today and hear the good news and hear the truth and then go and expose yourself to the exact opposite somewhere else. You've got to make up your mind what you believe. As for me, years ago, there's a line there called the faith line, and I crossed over it, and I'm never going back in Jesus' name. I'm not going back to when somebody tells me God can't do this or God won't do this. You never know what God will do. Listen, these things have passed away. Tongues are of the devil. Blah, 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 blah. This is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm not going back. You got to be careful, little ears, what you hear. Scripture says, be careful or take heed what you hear. You can't hear healing on Monday and God's going to knock you out on Tuesday. You can't hear God will prosper you on Wednesday and Thursday. God will make you broke just to teach you a lesson. You got to make up your mind what you believe and fellowship in that particular vein. And I'm telling you, they are out there. The confusion is out there. The contradiction is out there. You've got to be careful what you're taking in. It's tough enough to stand and believe God on the promises. We don't have these contradictory voices going into your head all the time. Amen. Filter what you're receiving. Take the meat, spit the bones out. Are you here? Listen to what Jesus said. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would to go in. Think about this. You won't even accept the new birth. But like the woman who was stooped over, a daughter of Abraham all those years, and Jesus healed her on the Sabbath. They're like, what are you doing healing on the Sabbath? There are 6 days to be healed. Let her come and be healed then. And Jesus said, you hypocrites, you take your animal out on the Sabbath to water it. How much more this daughter of Abraham deserves to be healed of what afflicts her? In other words, they aren't going to receive the healing and they don't want other people to have it either. There are people out there that aren't going to receive the abundance that God has. They'll try to do it themselves and they're going to try to stop you from receiving it. They don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and they don't want you to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It's time for you to ignore the Pharisees and the scribes and go back to listening to Brother Jesus. Can I have an amen? Listening to Brother Paul, what they teach us about these things, and tune everybody else out. Can I have a better amen than that?
Amen.
Thank God Jesus ministered to her. Yes. Can I tell you something? According to the scripture that Tyler shared today, you and I are all sons and daughters of Abraham. You and I are all sons and daughters of Abraham. I said you and I are all sons and daughters of Abraham. We are all covenant people today. And it's right for you to be healed. It's right for you to be delivered. It's right for you to be prospered. It's right for you to be whole and sound in Jesus' name. Don't let some Pharisee talk you out of what they refuse to go in and receive themselves. They're slamming the door on the kingdom of God on people's faces. They don't go in and they don't want you to go in. But guess what? I'm going in. I'm going in the door to the more in 2024. Amen. I'm going in. And I recommend you do too. Come on, shout it out. I'm going through the door to the more in 2024. And that's just making up your mind. Be careful what you're receiving. And if you're confused and you don't know, then send me a text. Send me an email. You know, there's only a thousand ways to communicate today. Just pick one. Amen. Heard this Indian comedian. He was talking about his phone caught on fire. He said these white people thought he was sending a smoke signal. Whatever it takes. If you're confused about an influence, just don't sit there and let it in. Does that make sense? Well, Pastor, how do I judge between what is right and what is wrong? Go to the Word of God. And let me just be as emphatic as I can be. I would have preferred that John Osteen come and preach this message for you today. He wasn't available. He is in glory. But listen carefully. Healing has not passed away. Tongues have not passed away. The gifts have not passed away. Those are the conclusions of men who reject these things and would prefer that you would reject them too. Do you know who is still alive and who I'd love to have in this pulpit someday? Max Lucado. You want to know why? Because all his life in ministry, he thought that was true. These things have passed away. And it all worked real fine and dandy until a few years ago. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and now he speaks in tongues. I love to hear about his journey from being anti-charismatic, anti-Pentecostal, to accepting these things. All I can tell you is, amen, the devil is the one behind anything trying to stop you from walking in the fullness of what the Word promises you. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Couldn't have been said better. Who are you to reject what God thought was worth it? Take it all. Receive it all in Jesus' name. Number six, check your obedience. You mean I have to obey what I've heard? Yes, just do a checklist and find out how you're doing. But listen to what he says and then do what he says you're supposed to do. Charles Stanley said this. He's also now with the Lord. When God asks us to do something uncomfortable, it's usually because he wants to do something remarkable. Can you raise your hand if anybody wants to do something remarkable? I want God to do something remarkable in your life. Well, oftentimes that'll come on the heel of some command. Oftentimes the miracle is in that command. The victory is in that command. As Jesus was saying these things, he was teaching, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." You remember the principle where John the Baptist is the greatest born of what? Born of women, but the least born again person is greater than he. Same principle here. Great honor for Mary in her position. Great honor for who she is. Blessed and highly favored Lord. But what is he saying here? It's better still to hear and obey. That's the real example that Mary gave you. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Smile at somebody real big and say, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's all about obedience. Blessed are those who hear the word of the Lord and then do it. Say, I'm a doer. I'm not just a hearer. Say, I'm a doer, not just a service attender. Say, I'm a doer, not just a book reader. Say, I'm a doer, not just the MP3 listener. Say what? I'm a doer. And that is a foundational issue. To the extent that we know in our hearts that we're doing what he's told us to do, the commands of Scripture that apply, of course, to everybody, and his commands to us as individuals, we have a foundation for the more in 2024. And number seven, check your praise. You need to praise God in all weather. And in Kentucky, you get to do that all in 1 week. So you should be well-versed and practiced in this. Come on, say, I am an all-weather praiser. I praise him when it's hot. I praise him when it's cold. Praise him when it's raining. Praise him when it's snowing. Praise him in the sunshine. I'm an all-weather praiser. I can tell you this, you can't be a praiser and a complainer at the same time. Praise attracts. Complaining repels. If you want the more, you've got to start praising him like never before. See, I'm a poet, and I'm sure I'm not, and I know it, amen. You need to praise Him. Nobody can do this for you. God inhabits the praise of His people. Psalm 22:3. You know what I found out? That wherever His presence is, He always brings His power and His goodness with Him. He's like American Express. He never leaves home without it. Where His presence is, you can find His power and His goodness. And where does His presence go? He inhabits the praise of His people, giving Him something to dwell in. He is never going to dwell in your complaints. He's never going to dwell in your criticism of others. James said, look, you can have salt water coming out of your spring, or you can have fresh water coming out of your spring, but you can't have both. And you know how this works. If I take a gallon of water and I dump a gallon of salt water in it, what's it going to taste like? In other words, once you have a pure heart of praise, keep it, maintain it, guard it. Guard your heart, guard your lips. Think about all the things He has already done. And if He did it once, He can do it again. This is not some, you know, once in a while, you know, kind of teaching or principle. These things should be foundational. You should, you know, evaluate your life regularly based on these things, on this checklist, and make sure that you're maintaining a praise life. You know, the next time you're tempted to grumble or complain or murmur, stop right then and there and say, you know what? But what do I have to praise God about?
That's right.
You'll forget all about what's upsetting you. Yeah. The people who are, you know, raised to complain, they're just the opposite. They have 5,000 reasons to praise God and be thankful, and they'll find the one reason that's not right and focus on that situation. I love a story that Denise Renner talks about. She said early in their ministry, they started a church and God never told them to do it. And it was disastrous in every way, including their own personal situation. Didn't even have food to put on the table. And her story about this man who had nothing in the refrigerator. And he said every time he walked past that refrigerator, this man would say, God, what are you going to do about this? He'd go past the refrigerator. God, what are you going to do about this? And he'd say it again. God, what are you going to do about this? And then one day he had a revelation. And he started going past that refrigerator. And he used to say, praise God, hallelujah. And then he'd walk past that refrigerator again. And he'd go, praise God, hallelujah. Come on, do it for me, church. Praise God, hallelujah. And you know, within a week, that refrigerator was filled to the gills. Praise attracts. Yes. Complaining, amen, repels. Praise will fill your cupboards. Praise will fill your gas tank. Praise will fill your banking account. Are you here today, church? Yes. Praise will fill your refrigerator, glory to God. Praise will fill your heart, but complaining will take it all away. Yes. Glory to God. Can you tell what I can tell today? Brother Osteen's message is just as anointed as the day that God gave it to him.
Yes.
I've been listening to some folks lately to talk about, you know, ministerial sermon plagiarism. The arrogance of it all. Can I tell you something? You and I are the sum total of the things we've been feeding on. No Christian ever had an original thought. Ever. It all goes back one way or another to the revelation of our God. And we're all plagiarizing Him, hallelujah. And He expects you to in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm convinced that he really, the Lord really wanted you to have this as a foundation for this year. To think about these things. And meditate on these things. Because if you do, you're going to see the more in those areas where things are so critical in your lives. Say that with me. I am going to live right. Say it, I am going to find that promise. Say it, I am going to confess the word of God. I am going to fight in the right arena. Say it, I am going to be careful what I fellowship with. Say it, I am going to obey God in every area of my life. Say it, I am going to praise Him like never before. Did you mean that? Well, jump to your feet and praise Him right now. Come on, praise Him. Give Him all the praise. Give Him all the glory. Give Him all the praise. We bless your holy name, Lord. We bless. Come on, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Bless Him, bless Him, bless Him. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.